In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, the truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
It's warming up in here. I gotta take this jacket off. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, he chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leave the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh.
Verse 1. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I breathe the breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, oh, oh. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't hide up, coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Thank you, Jesus, for chasing us down.
Thank you for never giving up on us, for loving us, oh God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that will keep you from chasing us. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. And you know, Lord, you were on that cross thousands of years ago, and yet you knew about me. You knew about us here, and you knew about our failures, and you knew about our sin, but yet you chose to die for us anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
The Lord bless you. Upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
A thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, may his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, may his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you, he is with you, he's with you. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you, he's with you, he's with you. In the morning, in the evening, and you're coming, and you're going, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He's for you. In the morning, in your evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 is for you. He 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 is for you. Upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and your may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. Is with you, is with the morning, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He's for you. He is 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 for you. Sees you, he knows where you are, right, and he's calling you home.
Lord, we come before you this morning and we lift up our voice in praise and worship to you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are I Am. You are Emmanuel. You are Lord of all. God, you have given us the opportunity to lift up our voice and praise your name. And this morning we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you that you have drawn upon us, that you have saved us, that you have called us. God, we thank you that you have had mercy on us and forgiven us and cleansed us and made us new. Lord, we give you praise for all of that. We worship you this morning with all of our hearts, Father God. Lord, this morning we continue to lift Mary Jan before you. Ask that you would speak to her, Lord. Ask that you would minister to her body. Continue to heal. Continue to mend. Lord, as she meets with surgeons again this week, God, I just pray that your will would be done in her life. Lord, we know, we believe, we trust that surgery wouldn't even be necessary, Lord, that you can heal her between now and the time she meets with the surgeon. And God, we believe that. We pray for that, Lord. Lord, I think of Jim Cox this morning. Lord, I thank you that he was here for Sunday school and the bronchitis and medicine is wearing him out. He had to go home, but Lord, we just pray that you would be with him, that you would comfort him, that you would restore his health, that you would just minister to him this very hour, Lord God. Lord, Jacob brought to me, I believe, his nephew who is dealing with gout. Lord, would you touch him and minister to him? Painful condition, Lord. Painful condition. Would you touch his body and bring healing and wholeness in the name of Jesus? Lord, would you continue to be with Judy Laver? Lord, encourage her and bring healing to her body. Heather Rios, Lord, we pray the same for her and that whole household, Lord, that you would mend their bodies and bring wholeness in the name of Jesus. Lord, so many issues, so many conditions, so many needs. And yet, Lord, you hear them all. You care about them all. You long to minister to them all. Lord, this morning we put our trust in you. Lord, we just ask that you would surrender, or that you would speak, that we would surrender, that we would hear your words, Lord God, and trust in you. Have your way in our lives today. Have your way in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I did a little digging around the internet, which is always a scary thing, to be honest with you. But I did a little digging around the internet and asked a very specific question, and that was to define religion. What I got back was interesting, to say the least. It kind of sums it up in a word. These are kind of some of the responses I got. Things like the belief in and worship of a superhuman power or powers. All right. A system of practices that unite people into a moral community, whether or not they believe in supernatural realities. Or a social system that may include beliefs, rituals, and a sense of community. Possible origins include awareness of death, community, or dreams. So I decided I would drill down a little further, and I looked for some specific responses from people instead of textual definitions. And what I got was still very interesting. Religion is a faith-based answer to cosmic reality. It is unobservable, purely theoretical, and serves as someone's best guess as to what this all means. Based on the Latin word religare, which means to bind or to gather, a religion is a gathering of people based on a shared set of beliefs or ideas. Then these last two were particularly interesting. I took multiple religion classes in college. One of the main things I've learned is that religion doesn't seem to have a real concrete definition, as it almost always excludes things that are religious or spiritual and includes things that are not. Thought that was interesting. At this one, I reject religion as a useful term, so I don't have a definition. Another interesting answer. You know, after I read through some of these, I thought about maybe one more question, and that would be, how do we define religion? Now, that's a rhetorical question, of course. I don't need anybody shouting out any answers or sharing your thoughts or comments with me. In fact, I'm really trying to dig down to something much deeper than the idea of religion anyhow. My thought is more about, do we see Christianity as religion? This is a very different concept. Religion is a very broad term and quite honestly does not describe Christianity, to be honest with you. See, if any of these other definitions of Christianity are something we have looked at or thought about or taken in, we're kind of missing the mark here. Religion, I don't really care if you call yourself a Baptist or a Lutheran or a non-denominational or a Catholic. I don't really care what label or tag you want to put upon yourself. What it comes down to, folks, is that being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ is much more than just some religion or some religious guideline. It is much different than that. Being born again is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationship is way, way, way different than religion. They are not the same things. Having this relationship with Christ is not all about adhering to this rule or that rule. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are principles we are supposed to live by. There are things we are supposed to do or not do according to the Word of God. But it's not about rules and regulations. True perspective of being born again is having a right relationship with God, subjecting ourselves to His leading, to His direction in our life. This is the kind of thing that those wonderful Pharisees that we read about had such a hard time with. If you read Scripture, it's not so much that the Pharisees were these horribly bad people. Pharisees just simply wanted people to live by a list of very rigid rules. And when Jesus came, He said, listen, your rules are kind of messed up here, guys. You've got maybe the broad idea of this, but this is what it means, not this that you're trying to get everybody to abide by. It's so much more than just rules. It's so much more than the legalistic guidelines that people want to tag on to Christianity. It is truly developing a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With that in mind, it leads me to yet another question that I was pondering. How do we develop that relationship? If that's what Christianity is about, if that's what it means to be born again, how do we develop that relationship with our Savior? Let me give you some very basic, simple things first. The first thing we need to do in order to develop a relationship is meet the person we want to have a relationship with. I can't have a relationship with anybody. Name a person. You can't have a relationship with them if you don't meet them. Right? That's not possible. And when you meet somebody, perhaps the first thing you have to do is learn their name. Who are they? What name have they been given? What do they? Can you imagine trying to carry on a relationship and choosing not to know somebody's name? Oh yeah, that one guy over there that I talk to every other day, I don't know his name, but that guy over there. Imagine trying to develop a relationship like that. Knowing each other's name makes a relationship personable. It connects the two people when you find out who they are. It's not some cold, distant affair, but a warm, personal relationship when you learn their name. Names can tell us a lot about a person. I don't know how many of us realize that, but people's names often show us or tell us people's character. Jody and I, over the years of our marriage and growing, have had children, and in the course of having children, we've had to come up with names for our children. And we've not always done a great job of trying to figure out what a name means. When we first had kids, we just said, oh, that's a good name. We like that name. We'll give them that name. Later, we kind of developed more thought about what does a name mean and anything else. But almost, I would say to a T, every one of our kids live up to the meaning of their names. Even though we didn't try to do that initially. Names have significant meanings. It reveals to us a lot about a person's character. This is one of the reasons when you read through Scripture, specifically Old Testament, but when you read through Scripture in general, you will see that people's names get changed. Saul to Paul, for an example. That's New Testament, but people's names get changed. Primarily that happens because that individual met God, God changed them, therefore their name was changed. Who they were as a person, their characteristics were changing, so their name was changing. I think you would all agree with me that knowing someone by their name is an incredibly important part of developing a relationship. And that's not just true in our day-to-day lives, but that is true in developing our relationship with God. And I just got done saying, being a born-again Christian is all about a relationship with God. And how do we develop that relationship with God? It's getting to know God and to know His name. Well, you know His name, right? It's God. It's Jesus. It's Lord, right? You know His name. All right. But there's more to it than that. The more personally we know God, the more intimate our relationship with Him is going to be. So we are going to start looking into some of the various names of God that are given to us throughout Scripture. I hope you understand this morning that Lord, God, Jesus, there's more names than that listed between Genesis and Revelation. In fact, there's a lot of names listed in Scripture. And every one of them has a specific meaning to them. Each of them reveal more and more of His characteristics to us, allowing us to become more intimate in our relationship with Him, allowing us to have a deeper connection with Him. And it teaches us how to call upon our God just how we need Him in any given moment, in any given time. For example, throughout Scripture, do you know that God is called our banner? our shepherd? That one you probably knew. But what about my companion or my friend? What about the God who sees or the God who knows? Do you know all of those are references to names of God and characteristics of our God given to us throughout Scripture? And the more we know those names, the more intimate we can get in our relationship with Him. All of that being said, we're going to start off with a name that is actually called a memorial to Him through all generations. And it's found in Exodus chapter 13. If you want to open up, you can open up to Exodus 13. We'll read some scripture from there in just a minute. I'll give you a little background, though. It's this section of scripture where we read about Moses encountering the burning bush. He's out tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he sees this bush that is on fire, but not being consumed. Now, I gotta believe that any one of us would be intrigued by that. I mean, I'm sure we've all recently seen the pictures of the LA wildfires and the destruction that they are doing. Fire ravages things, it destroys things. And yet here Moses is standing there looking at this bush that is on fire, but it's not being destroyed. It's not being burnt up. Just a quick reminder, folks. The things we read in Scripture are true and accurate. It's not made up. It's not a story. In this case, it wasn't a perspective. This, folks, this happened. A bush was on fire, but not, I think we would pretty much all be in awe at that sight. And we would probably do just like he did, and we would go and try to figure out what was happening. Well, if we know the account, we know that Moses approached the bush, and at that point he basically had a long conversation with God himself. He spoke with the Creator of all things. And at one point he basically asked God for his credentials. He kind of said, "Who are you?" Listen to this in Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' What then shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" So the name God uses to introduce himself to Moses is the name I Am. And if you continue reading in that text, you also see not only I Am, but also Lord. Now there's something specific here you need to notice. Lord is written in all capital letters. That's very, very, very important, because if you read Scripture, you will see Lord printed two different ways. You will see the uppercase L and all lowercase ORD, and you will see Lord in all capitals. When it is in all capitals, Lord and I Am are one and the same. That's what they are referring to when you see it written that way. All capitals is not a mistake in your text. It wasn't somebody did an oops when translating, or the cap locks key got stuck on their typewriter. It is done two different ways, very specifically. Now, why did God choose to introduce himself as I am when he met Moses in the bush? I don't know. I don't know the mind of God. I have no idea why that is the way God chose to introduce himself. And nobody can tell you any different than that. That is how he chose to introduce himself. I know that's difficult for us to accept sometimes, but we don't have the answer to that question. Only God knows, and I don't know God's mind. But he did choose to introduce himself that way. On top of that, I think we need to look at this set of scripture from a tiny different perspective this morning. For years and years and years, scholars have tried to understand this whole piece of scripture and why God is introduced this way and how he introduces himself. Some of them have come up with the idea that Moses wasn't really asking God for a specific name. I don't know that that's completely accurate. I'm telling you the thought process that has gone into this over years of study with different scholars. Was he really asking God for a specific name? Or was he asking him something more along the lines of, what kind of God are you? What does your name mean? How do I present you to the Israelites? If you take some time to really study that, all of that makes sense. All of that is possible. That could be what he was drilling down to. When the Israelites say, who are you? What am I supposed to present them with? What am I supposed to say to them? How am I supposed to explain you to them? Could that be what he was going after here? If that could have been Moses' true motive or true question, then the answer that he got unveils a lot of how God wants to be known, doesn't it? In fact, Exodus says, it's in fact how he wants to be known from generation to generation. Forever, he wants to be known as I am. He wants to be known as Lord. And what does that mean if we, again, go through all the translation and work it all out? What does it mean? How is he introducing himself? He is calling himself the self-existent one. I am Lord, the self-existent one. What does that mean? Well, exactly what you think it means. God always has been. God always will be. There is no beginning. There is no end. Nothing is hidden from God because he has always existed. Nothing is outside of God because God has always been. It means he is eternal. And because he is eternal, he can be trusted. Because he knows everything there is to know, because he has always existed. He has known everything there is to know. If we stop and really examine this and really think about it, nothing takes place outside of God's purview. Because he has always been. God is not made up. God is not invented. God is not crafted or created. God is not even born in that sense of being put together. And we know Jesus was born as a baby. I'm not taking away from that. But God, as a deity, was not born, not created, not put together. You know, there's a lot of other religions out there whose gods, little g, whose gods have been made by somebody's hand. They've been created in some way. Their leadership has been made up. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if they were created, something existed before them. And if something existed before them, that something was probably more important than them. These religious deities, or small letter G gods, came into existence somehow. How did they come into existence? They were made up. They were created. Somehow they were formed. Something had the ability to make them, or design them, or bring them to a person's attention. But God, I am, has always been and always will be. That's a tough concept for people to accept. That's a tough concept for us to accept. If we are people that like answers and like to think through things, we want an answer. I want this beginning time frame of where God came from. And there isn't one. He has always existed. You know, that's a particularly tough concept for science-minded individuals. They're always looking for the fact behind the science of stuff. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with science. God gives us wisdom to understand that all the time. But just because we don't come up with the answer doesn't mean that it's biblically inaccurate. God tells us He has always existed, and that is something that we have got to understand as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. That's part of our faith. That's part of our hope. That's part of our developing relationship with God, is taking His word at truth. And His word says, I've always been. I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. There is no equal. There is nothing beside me. There is nobody who can stand up to me. I am the God of all creation. That's something we have to learn to believe and trust in as we develop our walk with Him. He is, without question, unchanging. And according to Exodus, that's how He wants to be known from generation to generation. There's no end to that, folks. That's not this generation to this generation. It's not boomers to Xers or anything like that. Generation to generation means ongoing forever, to any and all generations that exist. There's no question that knowing God in that way is a key part of us maturing in our what? Our relationship with Him. Forget about religion. It's that relationship building that we need to do. And knowing that God has always been is a key part of that building process in our lives. In fact, if we can learn to trust God in the fact that He has always been, then we can learn to trust God in Him keeping His promises. They somewhat go hand in hand. God says, I've always been. If you can believe that, then you can believe that when He says, I will make a way for you, I will provide for you, I have your best in mind, trust me, we can believe Him in those things as well. I want to give you a tiny bit more information about I am, or Lord, this morning. And I really want to try to figure out how to do this without making it all confusing, because this can get kind of deep, and that's not where I really want to go this morning. But I am, or Lord, it's actually written a different way when we get into the Hebrew writing and Hebrew text. The first thing we need to know is that in ancient Hebrew, there were no vowels. There were no vowels in ancient Hebrew. So that name of God, that I am, that Lord, is actually written YHWH. That's how, in Hebrew, I am would be spelled out or written. YHWH. This is actually known as the Tetragrammaton, the four letters of Hebrew. That's what this is known as, YHWH, Tetragrammaton. Try to keep that in your language vocabulary for a while. No thanks. Because ancient Hebrew did not have vowels, A, E, I, O, and U, you know what we're talking about, vowels. Because ancient Hebrew didn't have anything like vowels that we would see in our language, scholars have actually never understood how that name was supposed to be pronounced. To this very day, nobody truly knows how to pronounce YHWH. It's a mystery. There is no known understanding of its pronunciation. Over time, trying to come up with a pronunciation, trying to understand, trying to figure it out, people have taken other known names of God, taken their vowels, and put them into the YHWH word. And that is where we have come up with Yahweh. That's how we get the name or the word Yahweh. Yahweh, which technically is an incorrect modification of YHWH, because we don't really know that's how it's supposed to sound. I'm not saying it's blasphemy. I'm not saying you're going to be condemned when you use the name Yahweh. That's not where I'm going. We use Yahweh all the time in referencing to God. I'm just telling you that doesn't necessarily explain the YHWH writing. And then from Yahweh, we also get another name that we are very familiar with today, which is Jehovah. Jehovah. That's where those names of God come from. That name, YHWH, was considered so sacred that Jews would very rarely write it or say it in any way. Once in a great while, it would be transcribed or it would be attempted to be pronounced, but very, very rarely throughout history would they use that name, because it was seen as such a holy description of God. So they would replace that name with other names, including Lord, all caps. Lord, or I am, as we talked about from Exodus. They felt that doing that would mean that they could never be accused of misusing the name of the Lord, which they certainly did not want to be accused of. I've thrown a lot out there in regards to this name, but if I can boil it down to its basics, whether you read it as Jehovah or Yahweh or YHWH or I am or Lord in all capital letters, that is a name, or names, I guess you could say, plural, speaking to God's eternal existence. So if you want to know the self-existent, eternal, never beginning, never ending God, that's His name. Yahweh, Jehovah, I am, Lord. That is how we speak to the God of all creation. And it's also the way He wants us to know Him from generation to generation, according to Exodus. He wants you to know that He is eternal, unending, self-existent. Nothing has created Him. Nobody can take Him away. Nothing has started Him. Nobody is going to end Him. He is Lord God Almighty. I am that I am, the self-existent one. See, God, YHWH, God has life in and of Himself. He has life in and of Himself. Isn't that interesting? Our self-existent God. Self-existent one, Yahweh, He is not a religious figure or idea, but an eternal creator that desires to reveal Himself to you that very way. He wants you to know that He is always there. Always has been, always will be. Not when you're in the valley, not when you're on the mountaintop. But from beginning to end, He will always be there with you. No matter where you are in life, no matter what situation arises, no matter how you might perceive things, Yahweh is with you. And always will be. And that, folks, is where we start building a relationship with God. Knowing Him as the self-existent, eternal God that He is. One other quick thing I just want to throw out there. It's one of those things that's going to make us think, perhaps, for the rest of the week. If YHWH is not really known by anybody, that pronunciation, that description, if that truly isn't known even to this day, could that possibly be the name that we're told about in Revelation? The new name, the name that nobody knows, the name that has not been declared before. Could that be the new name? Just something to ponder, something to think about in your devotion time this week. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You make a way for us to know You, the Creator of all things. It's amazing to me, Lord, that we have the ability to intimately, personally know You. We get awestruck with people and figures and famous people in our society. We get excited when we meet somebody that we hold in high esteem, but God, there's nobody higher than You. There's nobody we can be more privileged to meet than You. And Your word tells us that we can be with You day after day after day. That we can get to know You. We can get to understand You. We can get to know Your characteristics and who You are. God, I pray that You would help us to develop that intimate relationship with You more and more every day. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love. the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Lord God, you are holy, holy, holy. And we do call upon you as Lord of all. And we thank you for all your creation. We thank you for who you are with us at all times. You are the mighty God, Yahweh. We pray, Jesus, that you'd be with us this day and in the days to come. Help us to keep our minds steadfast upon you and look for you in all of our lives.